The Araturuki Tamariki is the Independent Children's Monitor, and it's led by Chief Executive Aaron Jones, who's with us. They play a critical role in assessing how well the Oranga Tamariki system is supporting the safety, well-being and outcomes of both tamariki and rangatahi across our country, and particularly for Māori. Aaron Jones is in for a kōrero. Hey Aaron, tēnā koe. Ko tēnā, thanks for joining us.
Mōrena, Dale.
Mōrena, mate.
Oh, you're welcome.
Firstly, can you tell us about the Independent Children's Monitor, sort of the history of it?
So we've been around for about 6 years now. We're now a independent crown entity. That happened in the last year. And what we do is we go out and we listen to the voices of tamariki, rangatahi, caregivers, whānau, and professionals that work in the Oranga Tamariki system. So these are kids that become known to Oranga Tamariki. We listen to their stories. We match that up with data that we get from agencies like Oranga Tamariki and the police and others. And then we put them in the reports. And the purpose of these reports is to sort of tell it like it is. This is where we're at as a country in terms of the way we look after kids that come to the attention of Oranga Tamariki, and sort of puts in front of decision makers and says, well, what are we going to do to make things better? And then we come back every year to say, so what's changing? What have you done? Is it getting better and why? And if it's not getting better, trying to understand the root causes behind what's stopping improvement for our tamariki and our rangatahi.
There's plenty of criticism of Oranga Tamariki. I think everyone's well familiar with that, and multiple reports highlighting shortcomings. But it is interesting that you gauge the response of those affected most, i.e. the tamariki, the caregivers, and the wider whānau, who in multiple interviews and situations were reminded they find it to be something of a minefield, the work of Oranga Tamariki. How important the viewpoints, firstly, of our tamariki. I know you'd interview staff regularly, Aaron, but what about the whānau of those who are in Oranga Tamariki care? How important is that as you sort of position yourself to how things are in 2026?
Well, it's incredibly important, because what we know is that for, you know, most tamariki nangatahi, they want to stay with their whānau. They just want the harm or whatever's hurting them to stop. They want their whānau to be cared for and looked after so that they can stay with them and look after them as well. So it's important to hear not just the voices of tamariki, but also the voices of whānau in terms of how is the system supporting them? What is it that they're looking for to help them? And, you know, we've produced a number of reports over the years, and, you know, one voice of whānau stands out for me quite strongly when we're looking at some young people that actually return from care back into their homes, hearing from whānau saying, look, I wanted my rangatahi home, but I wasn't ready yet to have them return. They returned in an unplanned way. I hadn't done the things I needed to do so that I could be a good parent, and that's heartbreaking. And so this is not just about supporting young people, but it's about supporting whānau too, so that they can be their home life can be stabilised, and so that young people can return, because that's what they want. And so that's incredibly important.
Tēnā koe. But if you're going back to the dysfunction that contributed to you being in Oranga Tamariki care, it feels like we're just going around in an endless cycle. The findings in the report show less timely responses to critical and very urgent reports of concern for Māori. What changes are needed to ensure equitable and timely action, Aaron?
That's a really good question, and it's one I know I caught up with the Chief Executive of Oranga Tamariki just this week, and she's certainly focused on this. So she said wanting to understand why is it that, first of all, you're seeing a higher re-notification rate for tamariki and rangatahi Māori in compared to other ethnicities. So what we know and what this report sets out, that last year for every child where a report of concern was made, and this is for tamariki Māori, nearly a quarter of them had 10 or more previous reports of concern made about their safety, and that compares to, you know, 13% for non-Māori. So you're seeing a lot more re-notification in the system. You're also seeing with very urgent reports of concern, a slower response rate. So 16% of those urgent reports of concern for tamariki Māori weren't responded to within Oranga Tamariki timeframes compared to 10% for non-Māori. So you're seeing something different in the way that the system is responding. And when we think about re-notifications, what it's telling us is that actually we're not having the right level of response, the right types of response that meet the needs of Māori families, so that you prevent the re-notification, the further involvement of the system, because what our report also tells us is that the further into the system you get, the greater the disparities between Māori and non-Māori, and ultimately the poorer the outcomes for these young people.
Are the government prioritising Māori responses, culturally grounded, informed responses for our kids in care, bearing in mind how they're trying to cookie cutter us as a population, turning their backs on reo Māori, on treaty issues in our education system? The list goes on, treaty principles, alterations and legislation. I mean, are the government prioritising Māori interventions and the like? And of course, 95% of rangatahi Māori and youth justice have prior care and protection concerns. Yeah. So how can the system better shift from reactive responses to prevention?
I know. And I think I talked about this last year when our first report of this like came out. And you know that point you made about kids and youth justice. You know, these are stories about you know, care that was needed, love that was needed earlier in their lives that could have prevented them from ending up in youth justice. That's the story. I think that sits in there. It's one of care and love. And when we talk about involving Māori in the solutions here, I was looking back at the expert panel's report 10 years ago that was calling for greater partnership with iwi Māori providers to meet the needs of Māori whānau. And I think steps have, you know, we have seen some changes, but the question is it happening fast enough? And certainly the evidence in this report is a real strong call for action. What's good, though, I'm pleased to say, in the report we also talk about some of these initiatives that are underway in particular parts of the motu that are showing considerable promise. So whānau-based services, whānau-centred services as alternatives to Oranga Tamariki. Because the challenge for Oranga Tamariki is, and understandably, is that whānau don't trust them. And so when they come to the door, they're unlikely to get engagement. And where iwi Māori offer the solution is that they are based in the rohe, they have trust, they know the whānau, and they can get in the front door and help them to stabilise the situation and hopefully make sure that the kids can stay in their homes, provided they can be safe.
Tēnā koe. Thank you, Aaron, for joining us. Well, compared to non-Māori, are the needs, well, we know that they're not being as adequately met as we would hope, Aaron. So what are the most urgent areas where improvements are required?
Well, I think it's simple. What we talk about is, you know, let's look at the front door. And so when, you know, reports of concern are made, it's about having the right response at the earliest opportunity, doing the very best that we can at that point. Like I said, otherwise disparities just grow through the system and the outcomes get worse. So we need to see initiatives like Te Pūkaia up in Whakatane, Hapuri initiative here in Porirua, Mahuru, which is a youth justice initiative up in the far north with Ngāpuhi, where they've got kids on remand rather than being in secure residences. They're living in family homes with mātua atawhai, caring for them, giving them life skills while they're there, really helping them to move forward in their lives while they're on remand. And those are the kind of things that we need to see, really getting in their holistic kind of responses. And at the moment, you know, we are seeing initiatives popping up, but I guess the question is, what's the wider plan? What's the strategy? What is the intention for what we want our child protection system to look like in 10 years' time? Because as I said, going back and looking at that report from 10 years ago, how far have we really moved? And if we don't make these changes and meet the needs, then we're just kicking the can down the road and we're going to see more intergenerational involvement. And so that's something's got to change, you know, for these children.
It's been a pleasure talking with you again. Thanks very much, Aaron. We'll stay abreast of that, of the situation, and raise the cordial with others and with you again down the track. Thanks for your thoughts this morning.
All right. You're welcome, Darrell.
Tēnā koe. That's Chief Executive of Araturuki Tamariki, the Independent Children's Monitor, Aaron Jones.